It's been a heartbreaking few days watching the story unfold in Tasmania on Monday. 270 whales beached themselves on a Tasmanian beach. And then yesterday, another 200 whales were found on a beach just nearby. Lots of these big, beautiful animals have died or were unable to be saved, even though the efforts of Parks and Wildlife has been extraordinary. And right now, those efforts are still going, with around 30 more whales still stranded but alive, and National Parks thinks that they are strong enough to try to be released. 70 pilot whales have been successfully rescued. And the question I've had as I've been watching these terrible images come through from the south of our nation is, why does this happen? What is it that makes nearly 500 whales find themselves together, stuck on the sand? Well, there's only one man in New South Wales who can answer that question. Dr. Wally Franklin is a Northern New South Wales-based whale expert and researcher. Wally, good morning.
Good morning, Kia.
What have you made following this story the last few days?
Well, it's an absolutely tragic situation that so many pilot whales, beautiful pilot whales, have become stranded. It's not an unusual event along the west coast of Australia for large strandings to occur. Pilot whales are interesting because they're toothed whales. Mm. Their echolocation system is usually used for communication amongst the individuals and for fishing, near to them.
Yeah.
So their echolocation doesn't work well in shallow waters. Now, why they came into those shallows is a very difficult question to answer. But having got into the shallows, their echolocation wouldn't, if it's a shelving bank, the echolocation wouldn't give them an indication of where they are. And it only needs for one of them to become stranded, and that could cause the whole group to strand. And that's because these whales have incredible social bonding as family and larger groups of individuals all bond together in the open ocean. Mm. The other possibility is that one of those whales was very ill, and a whale that's ill will often seek shallow water in order to survive and not drown. And if that whale was one of the elder whales, then the other whales will tend to stick with it, again, because of the strong social bondings.
Yeah.
So there's some of the reasons why it's probably occurred, but not all the reasons.
The number is, you know, nearly 500 is quite, it's almost hard to wrap your head around. Do we know that pilot whales travel in that bigger, it's a pod, right? Pod of dolphins? What is a collective noun for whales?
Well, it is a pod of pilot whales. Yes, we do know they travel in quite large groups, but they're predominantly what we call a pelagic or deep water whale. And you know why they would end up in shallows is a question that's difficult to answer. There was a long-term study in the UK some years ago where a scientist looked at strandings over 100 years in the UK, and they were able to do that because the coastal waters are considered to be part of the royal situation.
Yep.
And records were kept of the strandings. And what this scientist did is that she correlated the strandings with sunspot activity. Now, pilot whales and other toothed whales, one of the theories is that they navigate by sensing the magnetic grids. And, of course, if there's intense sunspot activity, that can affect the magnetic grid. And in the case of that British study, there was a very strong correlation between the occurrence of large strandings and sunspot activity.
Wow.
So that could be another reason. But it's very difficult to be absolutely sure.
Is a pilot whale more likely to find itself beached than, say, what we're used to seeing on the east coast of Australia, our beautiful humpbacks?
Probably not. If you look at, I'm not sure of the occurrence of pilot whale strandings in Tasmania. There have been previous pilot whale strandings, but they're fairly infrequent. With the number of humpbacks now migrating along the east coast of Queensland, New South Wales and Tasmania, the number of individual strandings are starting to increase because of the natural death rate that occurs with this group of humpback whales. But they're usually individual strandings. Often they occur because young whales make mistakes. Up in Harvey Bay, on at least two occasions, we've had young whales that misjudged the outgoing tide over a major sandbank and got stuck, and luckily that whale was rescued. And similarly, at the southern end of the bay, we had two whales that were stranded and did survive. So young whales making mistakes, young calves getting separated from mum. Mm. They're totally reliant on mother, so young humpbacks can get separated and strand. And then, of course, old or elderly whales do just naturally die or get sick, and often they'll strand to survive, because whales are air-breathing mammals like us, and they're probably just afraid of drowning as we are.
Oh, that's really sad to think of that, and to think about how you'd feel as a human, as a mammal, as we are sitting there on the beach, and we know so many of these pilot whales have not been successfully rescued, Wally.
Yeah, look, it's very, very sad, very tragic. But it reflects the incredible social cohesion amongst these whales, and I think that that's something we've got to be totally aware of. These creatures have culture. There's now a number of young scientists that are studying culture in whales and dolphins. These creatures do form very cohesive social units, and this stranding could be a reflection of the strength of those bonds. They stick together even in the most difficult circumstances.
Is that why we saw some whales who were rescued then re-beach themselves overnight, because they're going back to their family?
Yes. This was something that was discovered. New Zealand is where large strandings occur fairly regularly. And the people involved in those strandings there discovered over time that if there was an individual that was ill and the whole group had stranded, if they could identify the ill individual and get it out of its misery, often the other whales would just go away. But while ever the sick whale lives, the other whales are inclined to come back and stick with the group.
Yeah, we can learn a lot from that, I think, as humans.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, I think we've got to also acknowledge, Parks and Wildlife in Tasmania. They've done their extreme best to save some of these whales, and they should be congratulated for their incredible efforts in very difficult circumstances.
Yeah, because a whale rescue, if it's one or if it's close to 500, is never easy, because you're working with nature, you're working with a very large animal who, is under stress as well. What goes into rescuing a whale?
Yeah, well, we, in Harvey Bay, during our research, on one occasion we came across a stranded minke whale. And our crew went ashore and helped rescue that whale. One of the problems when a whale strands is that they have very sensitive balance systems, and they lose their sense of balance if they're on land out of the water. And if they're taken back into the water too quickly, they literally can't maintain their balance. They'll roll over, and therefore they can drown. And our crew had to hold that whale upright until it regained its sense of balance and full movement, and then eventually it swam off. So it's a very challenging business helping rescue stranded whales, and the people who get involved, should be greatly honoured.
Yeah. It's incredible work that's been done. There's still hope that we can get the last 30 whales that are stranded but alive out to sea, back where they need to belong. Wally, thank you for talking us through what is a really heartbreaking story, but hopefully a little bit of light at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That is Dr. Wally Franklin, a Northern New South Wales-based whale expert and researcher. He's a marine scientist, part of the Oceana Project.